What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series. Hi, I'm JR.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And this is the relaunch of You and Who Talking in a slightly different format. And the reason we've done that is because we kind of sort of planned to right from the start to take a break after Series 10 had finished broadcasting.
Yeah, did you miss us? They're not answering.
Well, that was something we'd planned to do right from the start. Take a little break, take stock, see how things were going. And obviously with this, we're not sure how quickly essays might come in. So we might find ourselves in a position where we've got 10 weeks of stuff at some points. And we might find ourselves in a position where at other points we need to take a little break again just to get some more essays in. But because we're not sure how quickly those essays are coming in. Well, Rob, you decided this. So do you want to say what the new format is?
Yeah, look, happy to. Just looking at what we had, I thought, you know, we could do our two essay format fortnightly, or we could still do a weekly show where we just put out one essay. And I thought, that's kind of cool. And it also means the week we focus on just one person, and we just promote one person on social media and talk about one person. And that might be nice. So let's try it. Why not?
Yeah, it kind of gives that person our full attention in case, instead of dividing it by two people, which is, you know, a good thing.
Exactly.
And it wasn't, as some people who know us on social media might think, because of the little debate, shall we call it, that we had, for which I owe you, and I am giving you now a public apology, Rob. I said some things to you that weren't very nice, and I am sorry. It was not so much to do with you as just to do with where I was, and I took it out on you, and I shouldn't have done, and so here I am. Making damn sure that anybody who hears this or saw that knows that, you know, I'm taking full responsibility for that.
Well, JR, you really don't have to do that, but apology accepted, as I said at the time, and we'll move on.
Good. And the thing that we're going to move on to is Cara Denison's essay about...
Nice segue.
Yeah. Cara Denison's essay about life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes. And the reason I wanted to use this as the relaunch is kind of because it brought something up that was right there at the very launch of You and Who that I kind of wanted to talk about. I mean, her essay that she's about to read and you're about to hear is a nice essay anyway in the sort of subject it broaches, which is how you share television. But we'll leave, you know, her to tell you about that and you can hear it from her. But one thing she also brings up is when people that you know or that you know from the internet pass away.
Mm.
And sort of in this modern culture we have now, there are people who mean something to you who you've never met, who will pass away, and who you might not even realise, you know, that that's happened for some time. And something like that happened right back at the start of You and Who. When I first brought out the idea for the You and Who books, or the very first You and Who book, several people that I knew on the internet who I'd never met in real life got interested, got involved, said, yes, I'll write you an essay. Yes, I want to do an essay, or even just sent their essays in. And so that first book is made up primarily of essays from strangers who thought it was a good idea. But a fair proportion of it is made up of essays from people who I knew. And I was expecting one from a guy called Dave Ross. Now, Dave Ross had turned up on a Facebook group. And because his name is Dave Ross, he told Facebook his name was Davros.
I could see where that was going, yeah.
Yeah. And for the first couple of weeks he was there, he was just doing Davros-style rants about whatever the conversation he was getting involved in was. And people weren't sure if he was a troll or not, or whether he was a, you know, whether he was just doing it to take the mickey out of them. But as it turned out, another friend of mine discovered that he lived pretty close to this Davros. So he actually got talking to him via PM, and eventually they met up and became quite good friends. And when Ewan Hu was first mooted, Dave Ross got in touch and said, look, I'd love to write an essay, and told this other friend, Steve, about the essay he was going to write. And, you know, we were expecting Dave Ross to be in the book. But sadly, he had one of these chronic illnesses where the doctors say to you, look, you could live a full life if you don't get any complications, or there may one day be a situation where you do get a complication and you'll just, you know, die on the spot, as it were.
Geez.
And sadly, in between the launch of the process for the book and him being able to write his essay, he did. He was in his kitchen one day. He just had an attack and died right there on the spot in his kitchen.
Oh, boy, yeah.
This is, you know, and this is the sad thing that can happen on the internet. People that you've never met. And the curious thing is, at this point, we were actually all planning, a group of us, a meet-up in London where we were all going to get together and see each other face-to-face. He was going to be one of those people, and of course, he was never able to make it. So that first book is dedicated to Dave Ross, as anybody who's got it will know. And people probably didn't realise what the reason why it's dedicated to Dave Ross is, and why it has a sort of quote underneath saying, exterminated but not forgotten. Well, now we know the reason why.
Right, yeah, I would have seen that, but never known the story why. Wow.
Yeah, well, wow. There you go, yeah. So this is not just for Dave Ross, but this particular edition of the podcast and that book is for all the other people like Dave Ross who've got on the internet, touched people's lives, and then disappeared.
Yeah, gosh, that's... It's beautiful and sad all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shall we let Kara take it on from now, then?
I think so. This is a really great essay.
Yes, it absolutely is. Right, here we are, handing you over to Kara, then.
Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes, Meeting Friends Over Again, by Kara Dennison, age 36, from Newport News, Virginia. I started watching Life on Mars completely by accident. A friend was recording the Avengers off BBC America and caught the first few minutes, just enough to intrigue me and send me searching for more. And the arrival of Ashes to Ashes was a godsend, taking place in my native 1980s and expanding the story I'd loved to the point of answering my most burning questions about the series. The sad fact is that until extremely recently, getting the UK version of Mars and absolutely any of Ashes in the States was a bit of a Herculean feat. To that end, I became patient zero for it among my circle of friends after the pair of shows ended. One at a time, at varying speeds, I took episodes around to friends' houses to introduce them to it. If I was in a particularly ridiculous mood, I would simply tell them it was John Sim in a cop show and let the narrative hook run them over in real time. Delightfully, I've never had a miss. Everyone who's seen the shows has adored them from the first 5 minutes, and everyone who's made it to the grim revelation in the rundown farmhouse has cried as much as I did the first time, well, every time. Everyone's loved it. Everyone's loved it for different reasons. Thing is, I have a pretty wide spread of friends from all different backgrounds. I've met most of them via either school or conventions, but their different backgrounds, regardless of our initial common ground, means my life is absolutely full of variety. I know experts in ancient Greek and Roman society, cars, psychology, makeup and costume design, photography, a little bit of everything. I can't rightly recall how many times I've watched Mars and Ashes all the way through, but I do know that each rewatch has been vastly different. My first was with two college friends, both Latin teachers. One would occasionally yell for me to pause for a second, so she could relate what we'd just seen to a very specific myth. Their theories came fast and furious and changed as quickly as they were debunked, but all were informed by their own education and experiences. Listening to them theorize, I was fascinated to hear which bits of the approaching endgame they guessed early on, things I never saw coming from my own personal areas of expertise. Another rewatch was with a dear friend who's a photographer and makeup artist. She had her theories, yes, but she kept them close to her chest as she watched. Instead, she pointed delightedly at the screen every now and again, praising the choice of camera angle or color palette. If any of her comments ever came completely out of left field, I'd ask for clarification. and thus find myself with even more information about direction and design choice that I'd even known was possible. One very slow rewatch, an episode a month, perhaps two if we're lucky, is still ongoing with a friend of more than a decade who's a mechanic and car enthusiast. He rarely voices his theories either, but will instead marvel at the choice of car for various characters. For my birthday one year, he sent me a Quattro in our favorite racing game. Knowing what I know, I dread sitting through the last episode with him. He'll be crushed, likely not for the same reasons the rest of us have been. Honestly, I can think of very few other TV series, possibly not any, that I've rewatched from end to end as much as I have this pair. It's to the point where I can quote entire segments of the show. But I can safely say that, thanks to my friends, no viewing of it has ever been identical. Up front, this obviously means my appreciation for the show is always growing. One friend spots something clever that was changed for a character's color palette, and I gain new appreciation for the overall design. Another points out a direct reference to something I've never seen that's highly relevant to the theme, and suddenly the script is that much better to me. But it's not just my appreciation for the show that's grown. I get to see just how versed and educated all my friends are in their various differing areas of interest, and it becomes more and more apparent the more people I watch with just how diverse we are, and what amazing people I'm fortunate enough to be surrounded by. Sadly, there's a bit of bittersweet in that. The last conversation I had with my friend, Dan, albeit on Facebook, was a brief one concerning the fact that he just finished watching and was bowled over by the ending and needed someone to talk about it. We never had that chance. He passed on in his sleep a few nights later. The most unfortunate part of it is that I'd known Dan for many, many years, but there was still much about him I didn't know. A lost possible conversation of any kind makes one think of that. But this in particular, where I muse at length on appreciating friends, drives home those lost opportunities. I'll never have that revelation with Dan that I've had with so many others, where a costume choice or a line of dialogue aids in revealing something about him that I would never have known otherwise. It outlines for me just how much we lost touch with each other during his last few years. Not the most fun realization to have. But it reminds me to try harder, look at every friend I have, see what's unique about them, appreciate what madness they bring to my life, whether it's ridiculous knowledge of car history or mythology or cinematography. I find friends via our shared interests, but it's the differences that have made my life as weird and wonderful as it is. The fact that my favorite pair of television shows has been the lens that allowed me to start seeing this clearly as just a bonus. A bonus and an excuse to watch again and again.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.